you're not on camera. You want to be on camera? There's people at home that would love to see you, Lindy. Lindy Matthews is here. Give Lindy a hand. Good to see you guys. Good to see all of your faces here. So today, we're going to talk a little bit. Well, first, let me go into this. I need to apologize to some people. How many of you live in Ayersville or around Ayersville? A few of you, yeah. So Tuesday came around, right? I had to work at the Dairy Bar Tuesday over in Ayersville. D&G's, come, check it out. Shameless plug. Scout Sundays, right? In a Scout Bowl. $3.95. Anyway. a bad plug. Anyway, so I had to work Tuesday, and they opened at 2. I got there at 12 because I had to get some things done. And so I'm sitting in my Jeep. Nobody's there yet. And I'm just on the way there, I was discouraged about some things, circumstances, things going on, and I'm just going, Lord, you know, there's some things that I've believed in my heart, some things that I know that I believed were from you, but man, circumstances and all of these things seem like they're completely impossible. This seems like it's completely the opposite. And I'm like, Lord, I need a sign. And I'm sitting there, and the sky darkens up in Ayersville. Now, if you know anything about Ayersville, just because the sky darkens up in Ayersville, in the heart of Ayersville at least, just because the sky darkens up does not mean it's going to rain, right? Amen? Okay. So I'm sitting there and I'm going, okay, well, you know, Lord, if everything I have believed was not of you, if it was all deception, then even though the skies are dark, don't let it rain. Just keep the water up in the sky. But if it's not, and if it really was of you, man, let it pour. Just let it pour. So I got inside, nothing's happening, and I'm just getting discouraged, and I'm going, man, it's just all been deception. Just like that, starts to gently rain, just a nice gentle rain. I'm like, okay, Lord, what you playing at, right? And I continue working. Soon it starts raining a little bit harder. You can hear it on the roof of the Dairy Bar. And this is really, really ringing, Rick. The mic channel one. Anyway, it starts to rain really hard. You can hear it on the Dairy Bar roof, and it starts to pour. Pretty soon, it's just pouring and pouring, and it's not letting up. And I'm going, okay, point taken, Lord, right? I get it. A little bit later, it clears off, and we got customers coming through the window, and my dad's going, he's going, man, we just got dumped on. And I'm going, sorry? But the funny thing was the customers are going, yeah, well, this is the weirdest rain we've had because 2 miles down the road, we got nothing. Pavement wasn't even wet. My mom's watching my niece out at my brother's house, and he's on the other side of Ayersville. And she's going, well, we got this light rain. And Jessica, my sister-in-law, she was getting ready to leave. It started to rain a little bit. And she said, and she headed towards town, Ayersville, and it was like this wall of rain, and you couldn't see anything but that wall of rain. And she said, and it just hung out there for a while. She said, but once it let up, once it started moving this way, she's like, we got poured, 2 seconds, and it was done. I'm like, okay, so that was point taken. The Lord was revealing a sign, and I get it, but I had to apologize for you guys who had to deal either with the rain or without the rain, because the Lord had to deal with me and my heart and my mind, okay? Having said that, he's also dealing with me on this thing, this little lesson, and I'm calling it acquisitions and provisions. Are any of you business majors? Into business? Do you know about acquisitions? Like when companies make acquisitions and mergers and things like that? Okay, if you're not, pay attention anyway. This message, you'll get it. You'll understand, I promise you. So I want to talk about acquisitions and provisions. And so the Lord is leading me through this. So to get started, I want to get into the Bible and I want to go to my favorite place, which is the Garden of Eden. Okay, so here's what we know. In the Garden of Eden was a place of provision, yes? The Bible says that God created all of these plants green plants that they could eat from, all of these fruits that they could eat from. They had all of these, and it would reproduce itself because it had seeds and everything else. And so they had the provision that they needed. All he needed to do was just keep the garden and tend to it. That was his goal. That was Adam's goal. Adam and Eve's goal both were to keep the garden and tend to it. That was it. And it wasn't all that hard. Does anybody have a garden? Is it hard for you to tend to that garden? Takes a little work. Well, think about this. How easy, how cool would it be if it were so easy that all you had to do is just go out there and watch it? And just watch what it does. God's already planted it. It's already there. It's already done. All you got to do is just go check on it every once in a while, right? How cool would that be? And you could eat from the fruit of it. Get your vegetables and your fruit and all that stuff. That'd be amazing. That's all they had to do. So it was a place of provision. Every kind of plant, every kind of food, every kind of... I don't think they ate animals then, but who knows. But sin enters the garden, and there are three different parties involved. We've got the serpent, the woman, and the man, right? So when God comes down, realizes that everybody sinned, he's going, Adam, what the heck? And Adam's going, it's the woman. And he's going, Eve, what the heck? And she's going, it's the serpent. He's the one that deceived me. Then I ate it, and then, you know, so on and so forth. So this is what it says, starting in chapter 3, verse 14. It says, then the Lord God said, because he's going to punish these guys accordingly. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field, and on your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children. Yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. I want to stop for a minute. How many of you people who have had children would have loved to have had a painless birth? Yes. Okay. Moving on. Because, he says to Adam, because you listened to the voice of your wife, you have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you, and in toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you'll eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are but dust, not but dust, but you are dust. And to dust you shall return. There's a joke about that in there, but dust. I think a little kid's, well, I won't go into that. No. So now there's no longer provision, right? Now they have to acquire their food. They have to work for it. They have to earn it. They have to do all that they can to get it. And it's hard work, and it's laborsome, and it's painful, and it's toilsome. And so now they understand that provision is no longer there. It's all about acquisition. The serpent loses his legs, so now he's got to figure out how to crawl through the dust of the earth, and he becomes subordinate to mankind. The woman loses the painless birth thing, and then she longs for her husband. Man has to actually work hard for the food, and this means food becomes more of the acquisition. Okay, so they're outside the garden, and Adam and Eve begin to procreate. And it says this, now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I've gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. Again, she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of flocks. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. So I want to ask you this question. Do you think Eve saw Cain as an acquisition or a provision? Let me read it again. Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain, and she said, I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. So we would think, yeah, well, with the help of the Lord, we would think provision. But the big thing is, you can go to the next slide now, is this is what is not, the original reader would understand this because they knew what the name Cain meant. And so this is why she called him Cain, is because she believed that she acquired him. And she possessed him. It was with the help of the Lord, but she's the one that did the work. I got the child, and this is the one. And then, so it goes on, and then she names the second child Abel, which actually means vapor. It means a breath. So it's really interesting that James 4:14 says this, and this isn't in your bulletin or anything, but James 4:14 says that, what are you? You're mere mortal. You're a mere vapor, right? You're here 1 minute and you're gone the next. And so she names her other child Abel. And what happened to Abel? Do y'all know? Yeah, Cain killed him. He wasn't here very long. He was on this earth. Abel was a hunter. Cain was, he plowed the field. That came time for sacrifice. and Cain offered up the top of his crop, and Abel offered up an animal to the Lord. And who did the Lord favor? Abel. And who got jealous? Cain. Cain got jealous. So the idea is, you know, Abel was the vapor. He was here for a minute and then gone. And so, but the Lord banishes Cain, and Adam and Eve are left with nothing. Their acquisition failed. So I had times, I don't know about you, but I've had times in my heart where I knew something was meant to be mine, and I found myself wanting to chase after it and go get it myself. Is anybody like that? Yeah, all of us are like that. So we've all had these moments. And the Lord's going, look, it's yours, but I need to build it with my hands, not you build it with your hands. And there are reasons for that, because 9 times out of 10, our acquisitions fail. And so I want to ask you, or I want to talk to you about why our acquisitions fail. And I'm going to use, and understand I have a limited understanding of what actually happened, but I'm going to use Target stores as an example. Anybody ever shop at Target? I saw you at Target yesterday, actually. Yeah, I was in passing and I saw you. I should have come up and said, punched you. We were talking to somebody. Anyway. So y'all shop at Target. You'll know what Target is. And Target went into this whole deal where they were, I don't know if they came into a lot of money or if their accountant said, listen, you're making a lot of profit and you need to start spending some money. But they started putting out all of these stores, and they just started pumping out stores. They even went into Canada and started pumping out stores. I have a friend in Canada who said, yeah, we got this Target in our area. The bad part was it only lasted 2 years, and then it closed down. See, Target also did this thing where they started building these super Targets. You ever hear of a super Target? Yeah, super Target, if you've ever been in one, like Mishawaka, I think, has one, or there's one south of Indy, I think, and you ever walk into one of those, it's like bigger than Walmart even. I mean, it's huge. And so Target's going, well, we've got these big stores here, but you know what? The grocery thing's working out, and Walmart's starting to kick butt with some groceries, clothes, you know, all of your home goods, all these things. Maybe we ought to get on the bandwagon. And so Target, they build their super Targets. Those are starting to work out. They decide they're going to go and remodel their other stores and maybe not make them super Targets, but they add, a little grocery section, and they start to make it a little bit more of that one-stop shop. Well, they're pouring money and resources into all of these things, and unforeseen things happen, right? I think they entered into a bankruptcy. I'm not sure about that. You'll have to research that. But they ended up closing all of the new stores, a lot of the new stores that they opened up. Their acquisitions begin to fail. Why? The first thing is, fools rush in. And I say that in quotes. How many of you know the song, Fools Rush In? Yeah, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Oh, I come to you, my love. Anyway, I'm not going to go now. Fools rush in, meaning we have a limited understanding, and we see what is meant to be ours. We dive in without full knowledge. Or, you know, because Target, for example, could have never seen what was going to happen in the future, right? Not with their money. They could have never seen what was going to take place. So they took the risk, and they made they built these things. And a lot of times in business or even in life, fools tend to rush in. We see it, we go after it, whatever. And God's going, whoa, pull back the reins. I need to build it with a little bit more understanding than what you have. What does the Bible say? Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So what he's saying is listen, you don't have enough understanding for this. It's going to fail. If you start building it with limited understanding, it's going to fail. You need to build it with my infinite understanding. The second thing is pride. And Craig, I'm not picking on you. Okay. How many of you ever have those people that come to you? And I say this because Craig did this morning. You ever have those people that come to you and they go, look what I got? And they whip out their a picture of their brand new grill. It's flat top and it's got wood, you know, it's got, you got a smoker on it or whatever, and it can be controlled by your phone and all these great things. You know, or somebody comes along and they go, did you see my latest and greatest iPhone 12 Plus with the really cool camera on it, or my new Samsung Note? And I'm going, oh, you know, me and my three-year-old phone or whatever, you know. And anybody have that? And you just want to go, when they do that and you feel like they're bragging and they just. He was bragging. It's a pride thing, right? You know, and sometimes pride gets in the way, and that's when our acquisitions fail. Pride. That was another song too. Sometimes when I put these sermons together, man, songs just start coming out of me. There was a U2 song called Pride. You know that song? Okay, never mind. Pride. The third thing is limited resources. When we go to acquire something, we use what resources we know we have, whereas if we waited on the Lord when he provided, he would have infinite resources. The earth and everything belongs to who? The Lord. And we need to trust that, and we need to believe in that, that the earth and everything belongs to the Lord. So when he provides, he is providing with infinite resources. Okay, so we know that Cain went to give an offering, and it was the top of his crop. The Lord didn't accept it. Abel gave an offering, and it was from a flock that he had, and the Lord accepted it. Cain got jealous. Cain's pride got in the way, and we know that Cain murdered Abel, yes? God banished Cain, and so Cain moved east of Eden. By the way, did you know that Adam and Eve were not kicked out of Eden? They were actually just kicked out of the Garden of Eden. That's an interesting thing. Just understand that they were still in the promised land. They just weren't in the Garden of Eden. They were in the promised land. And so they still had God. That's why Cain, when he gets banished, he goes, but I'm going to be away from your presence. I'm going to be away from your face. And God says, well, I'll mark you so that nobody takes your life. Yeah? Okay, so Cain moves east of Eden into the land of Nod. He becomes a wanderer, and Adam and Eve are left with nothing. And then if you get down to verse 25 in Genesis 4, it says this. Adam had relations with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth. For she said, God has appointed me another offspring in the place of Abel, for Cain killed him. To Seth, to him also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. Then men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. So here's what the name Seth means. Seth means appointed or provided. So this time, what did Eve see her child as? Acquisition or provision? Provision. And this is important because she needed to recognize that God was the provider. God wants to be our provider. However, you ever hear the phrase Jehovah Jireh? God is our provider. Yeah. Or Yahweh Yireh. This is why it said that Abraham is being credited as righteous because he believed. The righteous shall live by faith and not by works. And you go, whoa. Jason, isn't faith without works dead faith? Well, doesn't that mean that when we have faith in something that God gives us, that that's an acquisition, that we're acquiring it? That we've acquired it from our faith? And the short answer is no. It's by faith that you've received what was already yours. Let's talk about your salvation. Is it earned or gifted? Gifted. It's gifted. But it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that seems to be an action, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Was it earned or was it gifted? And I would say this, Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you continue believing and you continue on towards righteousness, and it's with your mouth that you confess and you continue on towards salvation. And I would say that the works are there to build the faith that it takes to receive what's already yours. Salvation, we're delivered. But let me ask you this, what are you delivered from? Somebody tell me. Eternal death. Okay, have you experienced that point where you are passing into heaven instead of eternal death? Are you to that point yet? No, you're still here on this earth, right? So how about sin? You're saved from sin too, yes? How many of you still sin? Nobody's raising their hand. Peggy is. Yeah, that's good. A bunch of liars in here, sinners. Say what? It was just too obvious. Yes, that's right. Yeah, so we're saved from our sin, but we obviously still sin, right? So salvation is already ours, but yet we haven't really fully experienced it, have we? We're not in heaven yet. We're still dealing with sin. We're still dealing with the battles that we have each and every day of our lives. What is that about? Salvation, though, is already yours. We walk around and we say what? We are saved. We are saved. We don't go, well, I'm going to be saved one day. We walk around and we go, I'm saved. Because we know that salvation's already ours. We've already been set apart. We've already been called by name. It's just that now we need to have faith to receive it on the day that we're supposed to receive it. And that God would actually provide that. That one day we will be freed from sin. One day we will be freed from the punishment of sin. One day we will enter into that eternal life because we've been freed from that eternal death, right? So in order to receive what's already yours, you have to have faith. The works is what builds up the faith. Let's consider the promised land. Okay, they're coming out of Egypt. They're going to the Red Sea and all of that stuff. They get going and they cross, the seas parted. They cross the Red Sea. They go into the wilderness and 40 years passes and God says, okay, I'm going to bring you into the promised land. Now, this is a land of milk and honey, yeah? So they get into the promised land and God says this on their way there. God says this, that if you keep my commands, it will go well for you in the land. In other words, you are to maintain the garden. You're to maintain what God has given you, what God has provided for you. It did not say, if you keep my commandments, I'm going to let you into the promised land. He already provided that. He already made the way for that. He already parted the sea. He already brought them through the wilderness. Now, there were a whole unbelieving generation. And what had to happen to them? They died off. Why did they die off? Because they didn't believe. They didn't have faith. So I want to challenge you about your future and about God's promises for your life. I want to challenge you to have faith. I want to challenge you to work and continue to work to have faith. The real work is to surrender to His will. The real work is to surrender to His will. It's to surrender to the provision that He has. And it's to surrender to the process that He has in order to get you to the provision, in order to get you to accomplish His will. I remember a dream that I had a while back, and I shared it with you before. It's the neighbors, or the people to the north of me, were cutting down these evergreen trees, and they were cutting them in sections, and they were bringing them to my house to be burnt, and weird. Because they had a dog that they were putting these sections of trees on to bring over. And then I looked in one of the sections of trees. I don't know if you remember this. I looked in one of the sections of trees, and there were these pit bulls in there that were just barking and gnashing, and just they were demonic-looking dogs. And in part of the dream, too, I was in my garage, and there was this pair of cardinals, male and female, and they were looking for food, but they were in the dark. They wouldn't come out into the light. They were in the dark, and they were hanging out in the dark. And I'm just sitting there going, you guys, come on, get out. Outside's here. You know, I got the garage door up. Come, go to the light. Go to the light. Go to the light. Get some food. You guys are starving. You look bad and pale and just you don't look right. You know, just get out. Well, they wouldn't do it. They just kept dancing in the dark. That's another song. They kept dancing around in the dark. And, my mind goes there. And I just walked away, and I went out and looked at the progress. And on their own terms, the cardinals come to the edge of the garage door. They see the light, and then finally they fly away. Why is that? Because sometimes you and I can't make things happen. Sometimes God has to make things happen in His time. And when that does happen, it will happen at just the right time. And at just the right time, the cardinals come out, they see the light, and they go and they get the food, and they have a purpose. And so at just the right time, God says, you know what? I'm doing all of this crazy stuff over here. All of these, you know, I'm bringing systems down. I'm bringing institutions down. I'm casting judgment even on the church. Okay? But in the right moment, I've got just the right plan and just the right purpose for you. And in that right moment, I'm going to activate that. And it's going to come into play. Because at just the right moment, that's when I'm going to need you. So at just the right time, we need to surrender to God's will, because at just the right time, he will make it happen. So why don't we surrender to his will? I came up with four things. First one is that we don't understand the promise. Sometimes we get the promise, but we don't really understand it. Last week I talked to you about Abraham having the promise of a son, right? Well, they didn't fully understand the promise, so he slept with Sarah's maidservant and had a son with her. But then God did this thing. See, we think that God only talks to the man. God talks to the woman a lot. Can I get an amen? Okay. So God talks to the woman a lot too. And so he actually made a promise to Sarah that she was going to have a son. Now that's important, because he not only made the promise to Abraham, but now there's a second person. And when the Bible says where there's two or three witnessing something, it becomes what? Truth. It becomes truth. So God not only promised Abraham, but God promised Sarah that they would have a son. And so they begin to understand the promise a little bit more. And that's when he said, listen, a year from now, I'm going to come back and you're going to have a son. And that is the covenant promise that I have for you. The next thing is we're too afraid that we'll miss it. In the world of acquisitions, here comes another song. If you see a chance, take it. Yeah. If you see a chance, take it. In the world of acquisitions, you want to take the risk, yes? And God's going, wait a minute. It's already yours. I've promised it. I need to be the one to build it. So we're too afraid we're missing it. The third thing is we don't have faith in the promise. Sometimes God talks to us, and sometimes we just begin to doubt. We begin to doubt, and to the point that we just think, man, he didn't really make that promise. He didn't really say anything to us. He wasn't talking to us. That was just bad fried chicken, or that was Apache Dairy Bar, not D&G's Dairy Bar food, you know. But we get to that point, and we're going, we just don't have faith in the promise. And God's going, no, I did make this promise. And that is why I sat Ayersville Tuesday and prayed for rain. And that's why y'all got rain for just that brief amount of time. Because I'm getting there going, do I not have faith in the promise? Am I not understanding the promise well enough? Am I not, or am I too afraid that I'm going to miss it? What's the deal? What's going on? The fourth thing is sometimes we just don't believe that there is a promise. You know, all of the promises God made to specific people, those were for Bible days. Well, guess what? We're still in Bible days. You know, we're not done. The Bible's not done. Yes, it's been written, but we're living in what's been written. It's not complete. And so God does make promises to his people. God does talk to his people. He loves you just as much as he loved David, who chased after his own heart. Do you believe that? He loved you just as much as he loved King Solomon, who he gave infinite wisdom to. Do you believe that? He loves you just as much as King Solomon, whom he gave all kinds of riches to. Do you believe that? He loves you just as much as David and Solomon and every king out there that were his, that, you know, he gave them all kinds of 700 wives. I don't know. You know, do you believe that he loves you that much? Yeah. We got to believe that he loves us that much, that he would want to talk to us. Don't I see you back there. You got to believe that he loves you just as much as he loved these people back then that he made promises to, enough that he would make the same kind of promises to you too. You got to believe that he loves you just as much, that he wants to have that same kind of relationship with you that he did with them. Because guess what? The things that he promises you and gives you are a testament for other people on down the line. They're a testament to your kids. They're a testament to your grandkids. They're a testament to your great-grandkids. They're a testament to people you will never, ever meet. And God makes those promises so that he can reveal just the fact that he is God and we ain't. Yeah? And that he does provide. He is our provider. He is all the things he said he is. He's not lied. So we have to believe that there are promises that God has for us, and we want to get to that point where we're listening to him. when Eve realized that this was about the Lord's provision and not her acquisition. Listen, the Bible says to this, to Seth, to him was also a son born, and he called his name Enosh. And then it says this, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And I think that's what is of utmost value, is that God has created an atmosphere, God has created a people that will call upon his name and realize just who he is. That's what he wants to do in your life. It's what he wants to do in my life. That's what he wants to do in his church. And I promise you, he's doing that. He wants to do that, and he's going to do that. So look for the provision of the Lord. Don't look for the acquisition. I know a lot of us are all about the acquisition. That's the earthly thing to do, is to chase after the things that you want. Sometimes it's best not to chase. Sometimes it's best to wait. The Bible says, be still. The Lord will fight your battles. Yes? Amen. I can tell you this. As a songwriter, some of the best songs I've ever written, the songs I can actually remember lyrics to, are the songs that just I sat down and it's like they just poured out. Like it took 5-10 minutes to write the song. The songs that I labored over, they're decent songs. I can't remember the words for nothing to them. They sound good. I don't love them as much. I love the ones that God really provided. I love the ones that he just, they just poured out. And that's what he wants to do in your life. Man, he just wants to pour out, and he wants to provide, and he wants to do it, and he wants you to surrender to it. And when you do, man, big things are going to happen. Big things are going to happen. And I'm going to hold, Doug Anderson, he watches these sometimes. So I'm going to hold him accountable, hoping to God that he watches us today, because he had a song of mine that he wanted to use and record. And it was one of those songs, by the way, that God just came out. It just poured into me. And the lyrics just came out. The music just came out. All of it just fell into place. And it attracted somebody else's ear that they want to use it. And if that happens, I'm joking around about Doug, but if that happens that he really does use it, can you imagine the people that'll hear it? Can you imagine the testimony that may or may not come from that song, right? A simple song that a lot of people are going, Jason, you got way too much time on your hands. Yeah? No, God's doing these things because he wants to use them. He wants to use you, and he wants to use me. And he's got all kinds of things in store. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again that you're a God who provides. Your word promises it, and Father, we know that you are not a liar. We know that you are the God of all things, and that all things belong to you. Lord, your word says that that we can plan our own ways in our hearts and in our minds, but it is you that directs our footsteps. I take faith in that, Lord, knowing that the things that you have said, the things that you have promised, the things that you have ordained, that they will come to pass, Lord, no matter what we do. But I just pray that each person in this room, Lord, would surrender to your will, and they would surrender to your promises, and they would surrender to the process that they have to go through. I know sometimes it's painful, sometimes it's frustrating, sometimes we don't understand it, but Lord, I know that you're leading us through, and I pray that the rains would just pour for them, and that they would see your abundance, and that they would see life in you. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, rock. Thanks for coming this week. Again, Buck, it really is good to see you. I hope I didn't hurt your feelings too bad.